This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the team at 980. Again, 6 o'clock, we'll get into the incumbents on the Commanders defensive line. What do they do with Johnny Newton? Got a mailbag question about a position switch. Could they push him out to edge? Why is that a good or bad idea? And then Daron Payne, John Allen. Are we so sure that Allen's the one that's going to get shipped out of town? We answered that in our Take Command mailbag, and we'll share those answers with you coming up at 6 p.m. Right now, though, we go back to the conversation we just had with Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati about Trey Hendrickson. And I just don't see how, even though Joe Burrow, Anthony, is apparently on their GM and their owners and whatever's next, to say, like, you better keep Hendrickson, you better keep T. I don't understand how they make all that math work. Like, maybe in the short term, but are they really going to sign up all these dudes for the long term when that's the core that just led them to 9 wins? I don't know, none of those guys were the problem. And that sometimes is a thing, right? It's like, oh, well, how much is it Trey Hendrickson really worth? Their defense was so bad that Joe Burrow played like an MVP and they didn't even make the playoffs. And it's like, well, he wasn't the problem. He had 17 and a half sacks. And a bunch of other dudes that sucked. But at the same time, like, premier players cost money. He's going to want a big new deal. He's going to the final year of his deal. They could save $16 million by trading him. I think the prudent move for the Bengals with where they're at defensively is because they need so much. And, like, it's not like the Commanders where you have some serviceable pieces and, like, you need to upgrade on serviceable. The Bengals have some just flat out holes where they got nobody and no real plan because they missed a ton in the draft, which is what we were talking about with Mo. So for Hendrickson, and by the way, they're also in a bad cap situation because they're paying Burrow a ton. They're going to have to pay Jamar Chase the biggest receiver contract ever because he just won the Triple Crown. They should have just extended him for something right at Justin Jefferson's number last season and then just watch the cap go up and that deal get better and better over time. They are franchising T again, and if they keep him, then he could just walk again after next year. They might not get any extra draft capital or anything like that in the long term. So I just don't understand how you make the money work. If you want to keep Burrow happy, I'd keep Chase and Higgins because you know you can average damn near 30 a game if all those guys stay healthy, and God forbid you ever get an offensive line draft pick right and have that come together. And so Hendrickson becomes available for... I'm guessing you're going to have to pay him in the high 20s, if not the low 30s, a couple, 2 to 3 years maybe. And let's say a third or fourth round pick. If I'm the Bengals, do I do that? If I'm the Commanders, do I do that? Those are the lingering questions here.
You said a third or fourth for Trey?
I think so. He's 31 and you have to give him a new deal immediately.
Yeah.
So that matters, right? Because you're not getting long-term control. So sometimes when you get, you know, first, like He's not Myles Garrett, so we can stop with, you know, multiple firsts or whatever. Oh, he led the NFL in sack. Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson are very, very different players. Hendrickson is a clear tier below. He's very, very good. He's also 2 years older, and I think Garrett's got 2 years left on his contract. Like, he's extension eligible, and you can definitely give him new money, and he's going to want new money. But if you told Myles, like, hey, man, we're going to do this after next season, like, you might be able to get away with Myles this season. Hendrickson, the second you acquire him, you're probably giving him an extension. That's, like, part of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean towards giving him a fourth, to be honest, just because you
of course
are under the impression that you got to pay the dude. But going to your question about, like, what the Bengals should do, I agree with you in terms of staying with T, moving off Hendrickson, just because, again, your best defense, even if you were to keep Hendrickson, and last year, was your offense. Like, the fact that you had one of the best aerial attacks in the league, that's good enough for your defense, I guess. So I don't know if it's a tough situation that they're in, but if I'm them, I think they made the obvious one, tag T and possibly move off Trey.
Yeah, the thing is, it doesn't sound like they're gonna probably do it. Like, it sounds like they would, like, I don't know, it sounds like they would just prefer to pay everybody and see if they can figure it out later, which is bold strategy, but, like, I also get it. Like, replacing good players is hard. And that was kind of Mo's whole thing is, and they've let Jesse Bates go. They've let Andrew Whitworth go, going back 2 years ago, going back 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tried to replace some of these guys with draft picks, and they keep missing on the draft picks. Like, they've actually done a good job with the strategy and a poor job with the execution. And I think this is, like, part of a larger discussion. Were we having this before the show? I think you and I were talking about this before the show. When we were talking about this, and we were talking about Garrett, and we're talking about, you know, would you do the two first or whatever? I actually responded to a YouTube comment on this in one of the breaks here because I was perusing the comments because I'm a sick human being who can't help myself. But someone was like, I don't think that paying any defensive player $30 million a year is worth it. And I don't think giving up two first for Myles Garrett is worth it. And I think for 90% of teams in the league, you're correct. Like, I actually don't disagree as vehemently with that logic as maybe you would think I do based off of what I've said about Myles Garrett for Washington. For Washington, I think Garrett could be the difference between you and a championship. And regardless of giving up one first rounder, two first rounders, whatever, you can make yourself right by drafting well. And this is the difference in some of these teams that have... We were talking about this pre-show. I did talk about this in a response to a comment, but I now remember specifically the conversation because we were talking about the Bears trade for Khalil Mack, right? The Bears trade, they give up two first-round picks for Khalil Mack. They pay him, at the time, what's an NFL record extension, 6 years, $141 million. The problem is they then drafted like Poopsie, and they screwed up the quarterback position. They draft Trubisky, I think, is in that time frame. And they punch themselves in the gut, stomp on their own toe, whatever, shoot themselves in the foot, whatever analogy you want to use. And that's why the Bears were bad. The Bears weren't bad because they gave up two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. The Bears were bad because they messed up a bunch of other stuff around giving up two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. And you could, like, those two arguments are not totally separate, right? If you have more swings in the draft, or sorry, for Khalil Mack, not Myles Garrett, obviously. If you have multiple swings, you have a better chance of getting a hit. So if you think about the draft as just total at-bats, our batting average doesn't have to be as high. And that's why accumulating as many picks as possible is the right play often in the draft. But if you have the chance to get someone like a Myles Garrett, and you're willing to walk that tightrope, the payoff is enormous. And I look at a team like the Rams, who obviously shortened their window, but they got the championship when they traded two firsts in the Jalen Ramsey trade, but they got it done. They were a team that was ready to make that kind of deal, maybe the only team in modern NFL history that was ready to make that kind of deal. And they were still competitive in the years to come because they got a couple of things right in the draft. And while they've had a couple down years and they obviously haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl, you draft a Puka Nacua. Last year, you drafted Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. And all of a sudden, you know, if they can either keep Stafford this year, they can probably compete for their division and be competitive again. Or if they can figure out something else at quarterback, whether it's a Sam Darnold or something else, like the Rams are still going to be pretty good despite having done that Jalen Ramsey trade. Why? Because they've done well in the draft and with other acquisitions otherwise. And by the way, they got a championship along the way before Aaron Donald retired, which is obviously the most important thing in terms of their championship timeline because he was the best player in the sport, certainly non-quarterback division. And so I think that's my thing with Garrett and the Commanders is, one, you have a rookie on a quarterback or a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, or I should say a quarterback on a rookie contract, obviously Jaden going into his second year. That allows you financial flexibility that if you are even, say, Buffalo considering a Myles Garrett trade, you don't have. They're paying Josh Allen relatively market rate. Then you also have a GM who has been very, very good at the draft and especially in the later rounds. And while there are no guarantees, that should buy you something to be able to say whether it's, you know, I wouldn't do it for Hendrickson. I think taking the swings is better than giving up even a fourth and having to pay Trey Hendrickson. I'm not willing to lose a draft pick and my financial flexibility for Trey Hendrickson. And I hope that's illuminating in terms of my stance of just how special Myles Garrett is. But I think for Garrett, I'm willing to do a lot more because he's the kind of player that wins you a championship. And the Commanders just don't have that many types of players. Really, they have one. They have Jaden. And if you want to put Terry, you know, it's somewhere right up close to that, the best possible supporting cast, then fine. But that's kind of, I feel like that's where I sit.
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think the point you made about sometimes, though, trading first-round picks or multiple first-round picks for players hasn't necessarily worked out. Going back to that point, I think some of that has to more so do with, like, scheme fit. I think Myles Garrett coming from Cleveland, who had four down linemen, to here.
Yeah, a four-down guy who can move around. Yeah. Oh, you mean the perfect Dan Quinn chess piece? And that's part of the reason I'd be willing to do it for Washington, too. Like,
yeah,
he's the closest. He and Micah are, like, two of the only guys that can do that at that level.
Exactly. So I think, Miles, it makes sense. Some of the other guys you named the Jalen Ramsey.
I don't think he goes into that Brandon Staley defense, yeah. And he was so good, and Aaron Donald was so good that Brandon Staley got a head coaching job.
Exactly. So I think that's where the disconnect is on some of those draft picks that you mentioned being traded for.
Jamal Adams gets traded for multiple firsts. Yep. Like, that one bombs because the thing that he was being asked to do in New York is totally different than what he's asked to do in Seattle.
Exactly.
Like, it's a nightmare. That's a good point, too. We get back. We can talk about this more with you at 301-230-0980, and or we will hit our weekend in review here on The Hoffman Show.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.